from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You watch the All-22, it's like, man, they had a great idea here. He just couldn't win the route. He couldn't get the space. And so, yeah, they forced it to him because that's where the play was supposed to go. And he just didn't get open. And that's kind of the concern with Keon Coleman. You kind of wonder, I think he's going to have a big role for this team, but he's going to win in different ways. If you're going to ask him to win routes, it's probably not going to work. But can he run to space? Can he use his athleticism? Can he win some leverage battles and make a play on the ball? Yes, but if you're going to ask him to win routes, I continue to not see much that gets me excited about that being the way that he wins.
Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast yesterday with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it's kind of scary to hear him talk about those couple of red zone plays. Just kind of to summarize, like Joe basically said, like not everything at the red zone doesn't just mean fade route. You know, like, oh, let's just throw a jump ball to Keon Coleman. Coleman had two plays designed for him in the red zone, and he had the corner. Corner had outside leverage. Coleman had inside leverage. You're supposed to get open that way in the NFL, and he didn't. And then on the other one, the one where he kind of got climbed over the back of as the ball arrived, that was Jalen Johnson, just one-on-one, and he didn't get – Jalen Johnson's an elite
corner. He's very, very good.
But he didn't get anything against Jalen Johnson. There's two routes that you're going to be asked to run in the red zone, and Coleman didn't get open on either one.
Well, maybe he might not be asked to run those routes. That's the thing I always –
Right. There he was.
But. Sure, there he was. Preseason. This gets to the point that I made – back at, I don't know which day of camp it was, when I saw them run an Andy Isabella fade pass at camp. Like,
yeah.
It's never going to happen. You know, camp and these practices and these games, they are spots to try things. This is a little bit of an extension of, you know, Zach Wilson and also Brock Purdy saying, like, oh, I'm trying these passes in the preseason and training camp because, you know, there's no consequences. So,
but that's an area of the field where he's supposed to be like super valuable, right? Like the last thing you want to be doing with your rookie receiver as he shows up and you start to discover like what he can and can't do is just, all right, let's check this off the list. He can't do that. Okay, we'll check this off the list. He can't do that. And now, okay, red zone routes that aren't fades. Okay, I'm going to check that off the list too. He can't do that. Like you don't want to keep checking box after box after box. Can't ask him to do that. Can't ask him to do this. Like at some point, you got to be able to do some stuff that isn't just let me jump up in the air and catch a crazy pass. Because he can do that, and we know he can do that. And this comes, did you see Warren Sharp tweeting about this again yesterday?
I was going to get to that, yeah.
That Coleman in the red zone stuff from last Saturday, you know, add that to some numbers the Bills have had where Warren Sharp pointed out they didn't really improve last year in red zone passing. So they were dead last in goal line passing.
Right. This is I did see this from Warren Sharp. Wanted to bring it up because it's
in the last 3 years.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing that we all know how good Josh Allen is at running the ball into the end zone. He's elite.
It's what makes the red zone offense not like the worst in football.
Yeah, he's their he's their cheat code.
Yeah.
Or he's their crutch. But from a red zone, was it? Did Warren? It can't be.
I've got it here.
It can't be goal line passing. It's got to be from like the 5, from the 10.
He doesn't specify what the yardage is. He says 3 offensive coordinators in 3 years, they're dead last in goal line passing. They are 32nd in EPA per attempt, 32nd in success rate. And that's goal line passing. Right. So I don't know. Is that the 2? That might be the 1 and the 2, I think.
I don't know what goal line passing is. He did a thing maybe midway through last year. Didn't he write up the big long piece?
It was before the year.
The difference between the Bills and the Chiefs is the 4-yard line.
Like the 4 and in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to me, you could do that a lot of different ways. I'm not saying it's cherry-picked. It's just I chose the 4, and the Chiefs are elite at getting in the end zone from there, and the Bills struggle. And if you got 2 of the best quarterbacks in football, it probably shouldn't be that gap. So the point on that, the big one, is Allen being 32nd in that number.
Mm-hmm.
We, like you said, we don't worry about it as much because
he'll run it in.
He just runs it in.
Yeah, he'll run it in.
And that's where, you know, from Dorsey to Brady, we'll see. Because, I mean, James Cook had 2 rushing touchdowns last year, right? 2?
Yeah. I think he only had, I got to find it. He was like, no rushing attempts like inside the 5-yard line. Like maybe like on one hand, I could tell you how many he had.
Yeah, this is probably where Joe Brady wants to change the offense quite a bit. Is, you know, we're going to finish drives in a better way. This is one way that it looked better from Brady to Dorsey. So,
well, they would get to the 2. That's where I wonder, does goal line passing mean the 2 and in? Because what they started doing last year, every single time they got to the 1 or the 2-yard line was, we're just going to QB sneak with Josh Allen. And we're going to find
Right, but that would not affect your EPA on passing plays.
Right, but what I mean is, do they even need goal line passing anymore? Because they're just going to sneak it. You know what I mean? If they're dead last, does it actually hurt them?
Yes.
I care more about passing from the 5 to the 10, and those are the plays I'm expecting Keon Coleman to contribute to. But maybe I should be expecting more from like Dalton Kincaid to be their big weapon there, and Knox, their tight ends.
Right.
You have 2 tight ends. One's highly paid. The other was a first-round pick. I would hope that my red zone passing offense is not going to be one of the worst in football because I've got 2 tight ends I put a lot into.
Yeah, you would think.
And Coleman, who's a jump ball guy.
I mean, a couple of years ago, they were the best team in the NFL in the red zone. I think 2022. Yeah. So this problem that they have passing in tight, they are able to overcome it. So sure, you could ask, is it really a problem if you can overcome it?
Yeah, right. That's kind of what I'm asking. Like, yeah. I don't even know if it matters that they're dead last in goal line passing.
It's not great. There's no reason they can't just be 16th and overcome it.
You know? Yeah.
But again, it is football, and I like to make this point a lot. You can't be great at everything.
They should play more kids games like the Chiefs do. Ring around the Rosie.
There you go.
Duck, duck, goose.
Yeah.
They just get bored and try whatever. It usually works.
803-0550 if you want to join us. 1-888-550-2550. Joe Marino from yesterday. He'll be joining us again on Wednesdays throughout the season, hosted the Locked On Bills podcast at 7:30. Moved his time to 7:30. So happy to have him back for another season. And, you know, it's always good. Subscribe to the Locked On Bills podcast. We'll talk with Andrew Filippone coming up at 7:30, Sal at 8, and some U.S. soccer coverage at 9 because it looks like the U.S. has a new manager in Mauricio Pochettino. Yesterday, you were talking to Joe Marino about that time. My son had his tonsils out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing fine.
But yeah, doing good?
Fine. Yeah, good. Yesterday, he was actually more himself than I would have anticipated.
Okay.
He's on medicine. He's on, like, you have to give him medicine all the time because for pain management. But
they give him ice cream after?
Lots of popsicles.
Popsicles and ice cream?
Yeah, basically, you know, there was a lot more watching of monster trucks yesterday than there maybe normally would be.
Okay. Okay.
So yesterday was like, whatever you want, buddy, whatever you want. The one thing about it that we learned going in, and now this has started for me. Do you remember, did you watch Lost?
Yes.
You've seen Lost?
Yep.
Josh, Lost? No, you never seen Lost?
I think I gave up on it season 6.
So you didn't finish?
No, I know what happens, though.
Yeah, it got pretty,
I know what happens.
Got pretty down the line there at the end.
Yeah.
But at the peak of Lost, I would say at the peak of Lost, was Desmond. Desmond, one of the best characters in the history of television.
See, this is where Desmond. I haven't seen it so long. Remind me. Desmond is the one with...
Desmond's the guy in the hatch that has to keep resetting the
yes.
clock.
Yes. Okay. Yep.
Spoiler alert. Sorry, yep. Josh.
Longer hair, a little bit. Yeah, okay. Yep.
See you in another life, brother. That guy.
Yes.
All-time great.
Uh-huh.
Life as a parent of a child that's had their tonsils out is being Desmond from Lost.
Uh-huh.
Because every 3 hours... We have to give him medicine.
You have to
make
reset
sure.
the clock.
Yes.
Yeah.
3 hours for a week.
And that includes overnight?
Yes. So last night, 1 a.m., wake him up, medicine. Wake him up, 4 a.m., medicine. I got that clock ticking.
Yikes.
Every 3 hours, my wife and I. Every 3 hours. I'm Desmond from Lost for the next week.
A full week of that.
And the number of people that have reached out to me that have said, oh, yeah, I've heard of people that somehow miss and get behind on those, that 3 hour schedule. And it's bad news. You will actually be, it's bad news.
Yeah.
So that's my life right now.
See, so you got like day one, it went okay.
Day one, we're on schedule.
All right.
The hatch, that
but people are telling you maybe
don't miss
get
it.
Get used to that.
Just don't miss it.
Oh, don't miss
don't
it. Don't miss
it.
I see. Yeah.
Don't miss that countdown clock, Desmond.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he was able to get back to sleep right after?
Yep. So far.
Because that would have been the first thing I would have thought, like, oh, like I'm getting up, you know,
three
a kid
times in the middle of the night.
1 and 4 o'clock.
10, 1, 4, yeah.
Yeah, like, speaking of monsters, he's going to watch Monster Trucks at 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's not, you know what, that's actually normal for him.
Okay. That'd be normal.
It's not that unusual for my son.
Okay.
So anyway, if I get anything wrong in the next week, that's my reason why. I'm going to blame that.
Okay.
Because I'm up, you know, one of us is up every 3 hours making sure he's getting fed. And, of course, we got, you know, the newborn. So, anyway, that aside, I teased something going to the break that I wanted to ask you about. And maybe get a call in if anybody's got a thought on this. Because one thing you'll hear about the Bills consistently is how there's an air, there's a vibe of freshness, there's a looseness about them. You're hearing about how, you know, everybody's just a little looser. Everyone's... You know, if you're a person that wants to blame Diggs for that, you could. Not many people blame Jordan Poyer or Mitch Morse for that, whatever.
Or Gabe Davis.
Just, you know, people that want to blame Diggs for everything are going to blame Diggs for that. And that's fine. You can have that. But I would ask this question just as a general idea. Shouldn't there be a looseness to them? Because where they are right now is... a team that has lower expectations. Not themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But what pressure is on the 2024 Buffalo Bills? Let's be real about that. The team has had pressure since getting to the AFC Championship game. And then, of course, losing 13 seconds. It's been life under pressure.
Yep.
Get it done. Win a Super Bowl. And now, with the team in transition, Allen's still here. The coach and the GM are very safe, right?
As safe, yes, as safe as you could, they could probably be. Yeah.
Who over there feels any pressure? Real pressure.
I mean...
if they were to go as far as they did last year with young players and new players, we would say, we're not going to say right now like that's a success, but by this time next year, be like, all right, hey, build on what you did with your young nucleus. We'll have like two more names to mention. Maybe we'll talk about Cole Bishop making first team all rookie, or who knows?
Yeah.
We'll have new names. But the whole idea that they are loose and free, that comes with a drop in outside expectation, outside pressure. The only player that really has expectation or pressure is the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And he, on some level right now, doesn't he have the role of savior? As long as we have you, we'll be okay. That's what everybody says.
Yeah.
As long as we got him. Okay, well, then we're not going to get mad at him.
And well, I'm
not about to get mad at him if they struggle on offense, because whether it's the coordinator or the weapons or this, or if they have a year on defense where there's turnover, you know, I think this team is still pretty good, but there's definitely a point to be made here about the reason they feel like this is because they are, even though, you know, you could, but on real, oh, you got to get it done. That's not there anymore.
Not to win the Super Bowl.
No.
Like, no one's... 2 years ago, everyone picked them to win the Super Bowl, and they were the betting favorite everywhere, right?
Yep.
And
that comes with pressure.
There was weight behind that.
And maybe you would be tight. Or maybe the pressure is internal pressure because you want to win it before Micah Hyde has to retire and Jordan Poyer. And some of these guys are getting older. Sure. You want to make sure you win it with this group. And then the group changes.
Shouldn't they still feel it would be a different pressure? And right, maybe it wouldn't be as heavy of a pressure because Super Bowl, like, you've got to win the Super Bowl or like nothing else is good enough. Like that is definitely pressure.
But that's not this year.
No. This year is just get in. Right? They would be under pressure to make the playoffs though, wouldn't they? Like Allen is someone that gets, you know, unfairly criticized a lot, I think. A lot of it is based on team success. He's the guy right now that is the best in the league that hasn't won one. And he doesn't want to be remembered for that. I heard him on the Chris Long podcast talking about, you know, visualizing the parade and how obsessed he is with it. But he would know, McDermott would know, like some of those, the kingpins right now of the organization, like you still got to get in, I think. You got to, and I don't know how much pressure they'll feel to do that. I don't know how much they're going to be pushed for that. I think the division could be as strong as it ever has been. So they might be at greater risk of missing the playoffs than they ever have been, as long as Allen has been like this version of himself and McDermott's been the coach with Allen being this good. So there's still pressure, but right, it isn't going to be the same.
Well, let's say they don't win the division.
Won't they feel pressure, though, if they find themselves in a similar spot they were last year where they're 500 and it looks like, oh, this team's not going to make the playoffs?
No, because that'll be the third time that people think they're just going to go on a run and make the playoffs. They've done it twice before.
Mm-hmm.
McDermott's record in December is tremendous. If they get to 5-5, aren't we all going to look at it and say, like, well, I mean, come on, they'll be fine. This is what they do. Who's in front of them? Miami by a game, two. They tracked them down three games with four to play.
Yeah.
No other team gets benefit of the doubt. And even that, let's say that they finish with a wild card spot. What would we say that week? Hey, got
just,
Josh Allen.
You just got to get a hot quarterback.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Got to get a hot quarterback.
You got Josh Allen. Well, as long as you got Josh Allen, you got a chance.
Unless they're going to Arrowhead that week in the wild card round.
I mean, they win at Arrowhead. Maybe a little different. They win at Arrowhead plenty.
That's true.
Not in the playoffs. But if that week they're going to Baltimore.
What a torture that would be if they finally win at Arrowhead in the playoffs. You've got two more weeks to go to get to the Super Bowl.
It's just interesting. Like this year's definitely not Super Bowl or bust. Doesn't mean they can't win it. But there are definitely steps along the way that people would view as a success outside of a Super Bowl.
I think it'll be more fun for fans, too, if the season unfolds and it's actually going better than expected or is going the same. Because, right, expectation is lower. It's not as much, still a little bit, but it's not as much, oh, you got to win the Super Bowl and nothing else is good enough. Because there's a bracing, I think, for, okay, this year might not be as good as the last couple. So in the past couple years, you almost, it depends what type of fan you are. So not everyone has to do this. Like, I have to do this sometimes where I have to remember that the regular season games, like, to care about the regular season games and not just treat every game as, okay, they beat the Ravens today. Okay, well, doesn't mean they'll beat the Chiefs in January. Not just obsess about that after every single game. Now, I feel like it will feel like the regular season means more now because you might be thinking about the division more. You might be thinking about making sure you get in the playoffs more than before because the past 3 years, unless they've gotten to a point where they're like 500, like when they lost to the Broncos,
yep,
we're not spending a lot of time wondering about if they're going to make the playoffs. That's been assumed that they would make the playoffs. And now I would still predict they're going to. But
they're the only division.
But should I assume it?
It's the only division where three teams are pretty close to even money to make it.
Like
all
it,
three of these teams, not New England, could make it.
Right. So I'm a little bit more in doubt on that than I ever have been. So when they play Jacksonville in week 3 and Baltimore and Houston, like those games, you know, like I think if they win those games and they have success, you know, in the season, it might feel a little different because there isn't the, hey, every single person picked you to win the Super Bowl before the season started.
It's also possible that this entire idea is gone by week 4. You know,
in what way?
Like if they lose to Miami on Thursday night and then Who do they play in the third game of the season? I feel like I should know this.
Jacksonville.
It's a primetime game.
I mean, they could win their way back into those expectations, couldn't they?
Yes.
If they start 4-0, aren't we right? Isn't everyone right back in the same place with the Bills?
No.
Here we go. Super Bowl. They would have beaten the Ravens to go to 4-0.
No. It would be. That's part of like this. This is the deep, dark psychological evaluation of like the 05-06 Sabres versus the 06-07 Sabres. The last 2 years have been the 06-07 Sabres. You have to win.
This year's more like 05-06.
If they got off to like 4-0, 6-1,
yeah,
with a newer group. Granted, still the quarterback and still the coach. They get off to that.
Yeah.
It would be 05-06. Like, hey, look at this.
Yeah,
we're great.
Hey, look how good. Look how good Teppo Newman is.
Yeah. JP Dumont, we love this guy. He's brand new. This guy's amazing.
Yeah.
He wasn't exactly the best.
I was just trying to think of like who was new. Ryan Miller was new that year.
Yeah.
All the kids were new that year.
That's kind of what I mean. If they have a great year and then stumble in the playoffs, but it's with a younger group, that'll feel different than losing with the same group that they just had. And I'm purposely trying to make this more than just about Diggs, which a lot of people want to really focus in on. The defense is really a lot of new players.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I think it's interesting to talk about how they are playing freer. That can be because of expectation. It could be because of internal pressure. And one of the things that the guy that left was talked about as, more often than complaining about the ball, was relentless, wanting to drive people. And his teammates wrote about it. So, anyway. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. We've got preseason football on the way tonight. Eagles and Patriots.
Oh, more Joe Milton tonight. The hype train continues.
What if Jacoby Brissett is the starter right there now?
Yeah. Yep.
So,
looks like he'll probably start week one, but there's time. There's time still.
They have a game tonight, so nobody fought and is going to get benched, right? Because
not that I saw.
If Brissett was looking out for the long-term vision of the Patriots, he probably should have gotten a fight and given Drake May more preseason reps.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get the kid out there. Because he got very little in their first preseason game.
Yep. There's another receiver maybe keep an eye on tonight. One storyline out of Eagles camp. Keon Coleman's teammate at Florida State.
Johnny Wilson,
6'7".
Yeah.
And also, by the way, like I know the yards per route run stats and like some of those underlying stats, Wilson actually had better numbers than Coleman in college on some of that stuff. He went in the fifth round? Sixth round pick. Has in the last week started getting first team snaps at slot receiver for them. I don't know if he'll play with the starters tonight, but for your deep pulls in fantasy, the monster 6'7 receiver that was teammates with Coleman in college is starting to get some run with the number ones in Philly. And he'll play tonight.
How do we view the joint practice before the game? So, Eagles and Patriots tonight. They just had a joint practice.
Yep.
Do you want to bet the Eagles here? Let me tell you my inside information.
You have inside information on the Eagles?
I mean, it's not exactly inside information so much as it's just reported about how the practice went.
Okay.
Greg Bedard.
Right.
Connor Bedard of the Blackhawks.
It would be a little weird if Connor Bedard was tweeting about the Eagles.
Right, he is not covering Patriots practice. Yeah. Greg Bedard.
Okay.
The Patriots offense, an absolute train wreck in joint practice with the Eagles. Phil Perry is the one that wrote it. The New England allowed.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
More sacks than passes completed in the joint practice.
Okay.
And those sacks are blown dead.
Yeah. Right.
Boston Sports Journal's Greg Bedard shared strong words. Driving my way in here, trying to figure out a way to explain it. I guess I would equate it to driving a little bit. You ever been driving and see this accident happen in front of you and you barely miss it and you sort of reconsider everything in your life, like what's happened? You get a 10,000-yard stare. That's kind of where I am. It was like traumatic. That's Greg Bedard. That's on the Patriots practice.
Yeah. They're going to be really bad, aren't they?
Maybe. Should we hammer the Eagles tonight?
I think we should maybe. The Patriots are favored, I think. Yeah, -2.5. Want to take the points?
I mean,
how do you take the points in the preseason in the first place? But after that ringing endorsement about New England, you got to be careful. They got a 6'7", or how big is Joe Milton? 6'5"? They got a big quarterback that can run and throw the ball a million miles an hour. It's going to play like three quarters.
That's true.
It's a little scary. Maybe, is he why they're favored? Him alone? That tweet's not why they're favored. I can tell you that.
I mean, this man watched the Patriots practice and said he started to reconsider everything in his life.
What are the odds they're the worst team in football this year?
I guess they're pretty good. They're in a tough division.
Shouldn't they be shot at that?
They just traded away another great player.
Yep. They start their season at Cincinnati, Seattle, at Jets, at Niners, Dolphins, Texans.
Okay.
I mean, 1-5, easily. In their first six games. You're right. They just got rid of two of their best defensive players. Where are they at receiver right now? I think Jalen Polk is not having a very good camp. But Javon Baker is.
It might be a situation where the quarterbacks don't allow you to know who's having a good camp.
Okay, right.
They've been bad.
They cut Juju Smith-Schuster, but that's fine. His knee was probably shot anyway. So, I don't know. Like, be interesting. Like, they could be in the running for the number one overall pick. And then at that point, I don't know what does the quarterback thing look like next year. Just think, like Drake May, they should put him in right away and find out what's going to happen, because their schedule is tough.
Are they so bad that it would make it so you can't actually find out?
What do you mean? Like they wouldn't
like
put him in?
So bad around him,
you wouldn't know.
He actually cannot succeed.
Yeah. Well, this was wasn't this said about them pre-draft, which is some said about them. They're not ready to pick the quarterback yet. They're not ready for it. I think they were fine. I think they're ready for it. I think you play him a year and you get as many signs as you can if he's good. But it sounds like they're going to play Brissett. So I don't even know how much experience they're going to get to May on. But man, look at that schedule. If they start 1-5, I mean, Drake May is getting in at some point.
803-0550 to join us. Andrew Filipponi on the other side as we get ready for Bill Steelers joint practice coming up later today. 2-4. Sal at 8 on WGR.
I would say that this has had many twists and turns, and until there's final resolution, you don't know. But the 49ers want to keep him. They don't want to trade him. They've never wanted to trade him. They've wanted to get a deal worked out with him. The deal has been elusive. The player was the one who requested the trade. The player was the one who tweeted at Mike Tomlin. The 49ers were not interested in doing those sorts of things. They were interested in getting a deal done because they wanted to keep the player. And now they're at a point where they'd like to try to figure it out. That would be their goal.
Adam Schefter on the saga that has been Steelers, Niners, and Brandon Ayuk. We'll get to the joint practice coming up between these two teams. We do not expect Brandon Ayuk to be at this practice. I've seen the photoshops of Ayuk in a Steelers jersey, but I don't think he's going to be there today. Andrew Filippone, of course, talks Steelers and Pittsburgh sports. Former WGR host, friend, colleague, joins us on the Western Highland. Andrew, good morning.
That was the last we heard from Schefter. He's been eerily, oddly quiet on what is the biggest story in the NFL right now. That was Monday, Jeremy. He took Tuesday off, Wednesday off from Ayuk talk, and here we are Thursday.
Yeah.
He has not reported a thing. I think he's tired of it, too. I think he has been pulled in so many different directions. He has taken a personal stand until I get a text that says, everyone has signed off on this deal. I guess he's not going to say anything about it anymore.
Yeah, there have been reports that a framework to a deal has been agreed to. That's going back even to last week. Andrew, I'll be honest. Like, if this were me, and I'm a fan of the Steelers, if they don't get it done, even though it's a thing that didn't happen and never really did happen, it will feel like they have lost Brandon Ayuk to me.
I agree, Jer. I think that that's probably the popular sentiment here. I'll only speak for myself on it, though. I mean, I can completely, I can completely agree with that, actually, because I think the Steelers have had their eggs in this basket since probably around the draft, thinking or even knowing that Ayuk was not going to bend. He was not going to play for $14 million in San Francisco. And that his agent was going to try to steer him to the team that his client wanted to play for. And that would include saying no, hell no, actually, to New England. Not as convinced that the Cleveland thing got as far as it's been reported, but definitely saying no to the Patriots and wanting to try and conduct this thing the same way Tyreek Hill did his departure from Miami. And almost try to make this like a de facto free agent situation where the player thinks he has the leverage to get to the team he wants to play with. So the analogy we've made here in Pittsburgh is it does seem a lot like when Erik Karlsson got traded to the Penguins, in that Karlsson had a legit no-trade clause but would only accept the deal to one or two teams, and that allowed for the Penguins to give up basically their bad players to get him. And it looks like the Steelers are trying to push the same hard bargain with San Francisco to get Ayuk here.
Is the idea that the Niners would want a receiver back in return kind of like the Pickens, I guess, is what I want to get to here. That would off the table for Pittsburgh completely, you think, that if the Niners say we need a receiver back and they say him, then the Steelers are saying absolutely not?
Yeah, Joe, that's been, that since this trade was first bandied about by the two teams in early April, San Francisco was told straight up that's a non-starter. They're not going to – they need wide receivers. They're not going to trade a young, good one who's cheap to get a young, expensive one, albeit I get it. Ayuk is an upgrade over Pickens. Their problem is that they have horrible wide receiver depth, and that wouldn't change if they traded George Pickens to San Francisco. I honestly have never believed that part of it. Now, I get it. Kendrick Bourne was in the New England deal, and allegedly Cooper was in the Cleveland deal. But I don't really understand why San Francisco, quote, needs a wide receiver when they drafted Ricky Pearsall in the first round, and they like to tell people that Juwan Jennings is much better than the role he's had with them the last couple of years. So, I mean, the point I would make is if the Steelers had drafted, I don't know, Brian Thomas Jr. in the first round, would they be chasing Brandon Ayuk like this? No, because they would feel like they have two really good wide receivers. And I would think with Deebo Samuel, George Kittle drafting Pearsall, San Francisco doesn't need a wide receiver. And
I also find it very far-fetched that they've required a third team gets in on the trade. Like it's 1987, they're trying to make the Eric Dickerson trade all over again. Three-team trades just don't exist in the NFL. I wish they did. It would make the league more fun, but it's just like something that hasn't happened in almost 40 years now.
Andrew Filipponi joining us on the Western Hotline. Joint practice today, Bills and Steelers. Before we get into the juicy stuff I want, which is who's most likely to fight from Pittsburgh, we've got some names for you for the Bills if we maybe get some fights today. The quarterback situation in Pittsburgh there, like, it's very interesting. Two names people know. Is this a Russell Wilson, it's his job, and we see how it goes in the regular season? How do you see it playing out as the season goes along?
It's exactly that. It's exactly that. Wilson will start, and I think the calf injury was convenient in that it allowed for them to look at Justin Fields with first-team players for the first time all offseason, because he did zero of that in minicamp and OTAs. So they got exposure for the younger, more promising long-term potential laden player through that inexplicable, unexcusable calf injury from Russell Wilson that would have caused me to fire my entire strength and conditioning staff because of the way it happened. But they promised Russell Wilson when they signed him that he would start. Mike Tomlin would have to go back on his word on that. That's why they were able to secure his services for just the league minimum. They gave him their word that he was going to start. And even though Tomlin said, pole position and it's a competition, that was just coach speak to try to motivate guys. I mean, he'll say that every position is a competition, even outside linebacker with TJ Watt, even though we know it's not. So I think that the question really is, how much did Justin Fields do to shorten the leash on Wilson once the season starts? And I do think he's eaten into that considerably, even though his first preseason game was not very good. If Wilson gets off to the kind of start he did in Denver last year, then I would expect Justin Fields to be the Steelers' starting quarterback by October.
Okay. Are they going to use Fields in like other ways? Do you think it's just Wilson, or are they going to do like packages with Fields along the way?
Well, if they are, Joe, they're waiting until their practices become private and fans aren't there with their phones and reporters aren't allowed to give out every detail of practice to incorporate that and integrate that into the offense. They've done zero of it so far, none of it. They didn't do it in spring practices. They didn't do it in any of the 16 training camp practices that they had, zero. I don't get it. I hope that it's a late kind of last second addition to the offense. He is probably their best athlete, and it's shown up in a number of different ways. He is so such a threat with the football in his hands as a runner. I mean, he's their best runner. He's a better runner than Najee Harris with the ball. He's better than Jaylen Warren, who I like. But defenses would fear him with the ball as a runner way more than those two guys, because he can score a touchdown on any given play. And so I think it would be a complete waste to not want to take advantage of that, given the fact that your starting quarterback is 36-year-old Russell Wilson and not Josh Allen in his prime or Patrick Mahomes in his prime. So with Arthur Smith having, I think, the background where he's, you know, liked mobile quarterbacks, then I would be very disappointed if when we get to the regular season there isn't at least a package or a wrinkle in the Steelers' offense where they're getting Justin Fields involved.
Which Steelers players are most likely to fight today? We've got Kyer Elam as our number one. He's a corner. We like
Kyer Elam.
We like Elam and Pickens as like the most likely matchup today in a fight.
Well, is Elam the kind of guy that will remind him of his fumble in the playoff game and go to that well, do you think? Is he someone
that's a talker? I could see him being even prepared with that. It's possible, yeah.
Yeah. Well, George is very emotional and temperamental. Now, he has not gotten to any huge fights in training camp in the 3 years he's been here, but we see it in games. Guys attempt to get under his skin all the time. I don't mind that at all. I mean, that's very possible. Who are other Steelers who would get in a fight? They got some big guys on the offensive line. Zach Frazier, he was a college wrestler. So he's not really someone I would want to mess with.
McDermott's going to challenge him straight up.
Yeah, cauliflower ear going on. He's into woodworking. on the side, he is a tough customer. A Landon Roberts is someone who is no stranger to getting confrontational. He's done that in Steelers practice somewhat. He is what you would call a hard hat, lunchbox type inside linebacker. So I think some of those guys. Will Kyle Allen try to mix it up with his former team? Mm. Will he start trash talking? I would advise against that.
How about,
he's not a very good football player.
How about Allen Trubisky, just head to head, the former backup quarterbacks?
Trubisky.
Yeah.
Everything I've heard of him, and I can say because I've met him and we've been around each other, would be the most surprising individual to get in the fight because he's quite literally maybe the nicest guy I've met in professional football. I put it to the test in the celebrity softball game. I hit him last in the batting order. I put him 10th, and he did not complain. And I actually took that as a bad sign. I don't
yeah.
want a starting quarterback who's willing to hit 10th in a batting order.
Yeah. On Trubisky, a nice guy is not, you know, foreign. I've heard that too. Wasn't there, you tell me if I'm wrong on this, wasn't there a thing with him in like a locker room fight though while he was in Pittsburgh, or did I just think of a different quarterback?
No, that was given as a reason for why he was benched when he was the starter 2 years ago. What happened was they were playing the Jets and Deontay Johnson did not get his foot in bounds in the back of the end zone, which was kind of it was really part of the repertoire and the bag of tricks with Johnson, where for this great route runner that he's proclaimed to be, he would make boneheaded plays like that all the time, and it cost the Steelers a score. And Trubisky apparently lit into him at halftime, and it caused this whole fracas where they were basically face to face, and there were a little bit of shoving going on. And Tomlin claims that was the tipping point for him to bench Trubisky in that game and go to Pickett for the second half, which I think is completely ridiculous. I think Tomlin was looking for an open play Pickett the entire time, and he just used that as a way of putting his first-round pick quarterback in and sending Trubisky to the bench. But
Good
memory, Joe.
All right. Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Andrew, thanks, and enjoy the game. I mean, Paul Skeens pitches on Friday.
Yeah, why do I have people claiming at me on Twitter that you've cursed the Pirates?
Well, because I made me and Skeens have a bit of a budding friendship, and I was at the Arizona game that they blew when really this whole landslide started, and there was eye contact made during the start several times, and I felt like we had a few moments that were shared, and then the Pirates went and blew a 4-0 lead and have not won a game since. So he pitches Friday, but guys, it's so sad. I mean, it's miserable here now. They've lost 10 in a row. It's very Sabres-esque, Jeremy, in that there is such a deep-down desire and yearningness, if that's a word, for the Pirates to be good. And they just, like, chip at our soul every year, and it is – but we keep coming back. We can't help ourselves. You know, mm-hmm. You're probably looking at training camp rosters and trying to figure out who's going to fit into their bottom six and who – their best young players are with the Sabres. I know you. You're very intense. I was at a restaurant with you where you were watching a game on your phone. You're just into it that way.
Yeah.
Even though the drought is on with them. So I don't know. It's just, it's sad. People get their hopes up all the time with the Pirates and they get let down.
Andrew, thank you.
Yep. A lot of kickoff stuff today, guys. That's what I've heard.
Good. Okay.
Good. Awesome.
A lot of the things that they would not put into practice because they didn't want moles and people to see are going to be done behind the scenes here. The bag, the tricks are coming out of the bag. The aces are coming out of their sleeves today, apparently, what I've heard.
All right, very good.
See ya.
Thanks, Andrew Filippone. The tricks are coming out. I downloaded the College Football 25 playbook. There's an online playbook you can download that's all the trick plays.
Yeah.
Yeah. And double pass, reverse pass, trick plays. Give me some trick plays. Why isn't the preseason all trick plays?
Right, you're
think all the things the other team has to plan for.
Technically, you're still hiding it because you know you're not going to do all of that during the.
It's just like the draft, or are you?
Yeah.
Oh, they did that. Now we know to not plan for that. Ha ha! We're gonna do it.
We're gonna have a left tackle run a reverse and throw a pass to our tight end. Good luck expecting that. in the regular season.
Sal at 8, we'll get his thoughts on the practice and on a Corey Davis idea if the Bills are going to make that move. And they worked him out. That's the report. They worked him out, but there's no signing at this point. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Rio. Hammered in the air. Deep to left field. History. Number 300 for Aaron Judge. The fastest man ever in Major League Baseball to reach the 300 home run plateau.
The way I look at it, there are three ways to measure fastest to 300 home runs.
Yeah. One of them is how many games you play.
He's the fastest.
Is it another one how old you are?
Okay, then there are four.
Fastest in your life. You know what I mean?
Sure. Youngest.
If I make a million dollars by the time I'm 30 and you started your business 2 years later, but you don't get to a million until you're 32, I got there first.
I'm just going to go ahead and say there's a word for that. They call that youngest.
Okay.
So back to three. There are three ways to be the fastest to 300. Games you got.
Okay.
The other one could be?
At-bats.
At-bats.
Okay.
He's the fastest. And the third?
Wait, is that what this is?
He's the fastest in games and the fastest in at-bats.
Okay.
The record previously games was Ralph Kiner. At-bats was Babe Ruth. Judge faster than both of them to 300.
Okay.
The other way to measure the fastest player to hit 300 home runs would be, of course, to have a race. See who's the fastest.
Okay.
Aaron Judge, 300 home runs.
Should I be rooting for him to catch Bonds? Is that even possible?
I mean,
what is Bonds? 762? He's not getting there. Aaron Judge, he's 32 years old and he's not even halfway. That's not happening, right?
Yeah, he's 32. That's how old was Barry Bonds when he had played 300 games?
300? You mean 300 home runs? Well, he would have been
old. Right. Sorry, 300. No. I want to go with how many games he has played.
Oh, okay.
Like Judge is 32.
Judge is 32.
Okay. Well, how many games has Aaron Judge played?
Okay, you know why a big difference here? Judge didn't play a full season in Major League Baseball until he was 25 years old.
Right.
So he started 4 years after Bonds.
Right.
Okay, so he's not getting to Bonds.
Yeah, Bonds had before. So the day Judge walks into the league, Bonds age 21 through 24, Bonds already had 84 homers.
Okay.
To include age 25 season, he had 117 home runs. Like,
yeah.
It's a head start.
Yeah.
That means if you want to stay at that pace, he's playing till he's like 45.
Yeah.
That's tough. Also steroids.
There's
a video going around about Bonds and Greg Maddux breaking down one of their bats. Maybe you haven't seen this. MLB Network's going to put together this, I think it's a series on Maddux. And it's the two of them each holding an iPad breaking down a bat that the two of them had against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the chess match that is between all-time great pitcher and all-time great hitter. It's awesome. So if you have MLB Network or you're a big baseball fan, keep an eye out for that. Greg Maddux getting a bit of a career. Tell us some stories about throwing to these guys. It's pretty cool. Sal, when we get back from Pittsburgh, as we gear up for Bills and Steelers, not just the practice, but the game coming up this weekend, preseason game number 2. Jeremy and Joe on WG.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Andrew Filipponi, the tricks are coming out. I downloaded the College Football 25 playbook. There's an online playbook you can download that's all the trick plays.
Yeah.
Yeah. And double pass, reverse pass, trick plays. Give me some trick plays. Why isn't the preseason all trick plays?
Right. You're
think of all the things the other team has to plan for.
Technically, you're still hiding it because you know you're not going to do all of that during the...
It's just like the draft. Or are you?
Yeah.
Oh, they did that. Now we know to not plan for that. Ha-ha. We're going to do it.
We're going to have our left tackle run a reverse and throw a pass to our tight end. Good luck expecting that in the regular season.
Sal at 8 will get his thoughts on the practice and on a Corey Davis idea if the Bills are going to make that move. And they worked him out. That's the report. They worked him out, but there's no signing at this point. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Rio. Hammered in the air. Deep to left field. History. Number 300 for Aaron Judge. The fastest man ever in Major League Baseball to reach the 300 home run plateau.
The way I look at it, there are three ways to measure fastest to 300 home runs.
Yeah. One of them is how many games you play.
He's the fastest.
Is it another one how old you are?
Okay, then there are four.
Fastest in your life. You know what I mean?
Sure. Youngest.
If I make a million dollars by the time I'm 30 and you started your business 2 years later, but you don't get to a million until you're 32, I got there first.
I'm just going to go ahead and say there's a word for that. They call that youngest.
Okay.
So back to three. There are three ways to be the fastest to 300. Games you got.
Okay.
The other one could be?
At-bats.
At-bats.
Okay.
He's the fastest. And the third?
Wait, is that what this is?
He's the fastest in games and the fastest in at-bats.
Okay.
The record previously games was Ralph Kiner. At-bats was Babe Ruth. Judge faster than both of them to 300.
Okay.
The other way to measure the fastest player to hit 300 home runs would be, of course, to have a race. See who's the fastest.
Okay.
Aaron Judge, 300 home runs.
Should I be rooting for him to catch Bonds? Is that even possible?
I mean,
what is Bonds? 762? He's not getting there. Aaron Judge, he's 32 years old and he's not even halfway. That's not happening, right?
Yeah, he's 32. That's... How old was Barry Bonds when he had played 300 games?
300, you mean 300 home runs? Well, he would have been
old. Sorry, 300. No, I want to go with how many games he has played.
Oh, okay.
Like, Judge is 32?
Judge is 32.
Okay. Well, how many games has Aaron Judge played?
Okay, you know why a big difference here? Judge didn't play a full season in Major League Baseball until he was 25 years old.
Right.
So he started 4 years after Bonds.
Right.
Okay, so he's not getting to Bonds.
Yeah, Bonds had before... So The day Judge walks into the league,
yeah,
Bonds age 21 through 24, Bonds already had 84 homers.
Okay.
Include age 25 season, he had 117 home runs. Like,
yeah,
it's a head start.
Yeah.
That means if you want to stay at that pace, he's playing till he's like 45.
Yeah.
That's tough. Also steroids.
There's a
video going around about Bonds and Greg Maddux breaking down one of their bats. Maybe you haven't seen this. MLB Network's going to put together this, I think it's a series on Maddux. And it's the two of them each holding an iPad breaking down a bat that the two of them had against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the chess match that is between all-time great pitcher and all-time great hitter. It's awesome. So if you have MLB Network or you're a big baseball fan, keep an eye out for that. Greg Maddux getting a bit of a career. Tell us some stories about throwing to these guys. It's pretty cool. Sal, when we get back from Pittsburgh, as we gear up for Bills and Steelers, not just the practice, but the game coming up this weekend, preseason game number 2. Jeremy and Joe on WG.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.